There is no way to rule innocent men. The only power government has is the power to crack down on criminals. And when there aren't enough criminals, one makes them. One declares so many things to be a crime that it becomes impossible for men to live without breaking laws. And that quote comes from Ayn Rand. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. Well, folks, it has long been predicted that 2012 will be a year of change, and we are absolutely seeing that change come about. But it isn't the change that most people were expecting. It's change of a very different sort. Now, in 2008, I released a film called The Big Picture, and I said in that film that in 2012, what we will see happening is not a cataclysm or the end of the world or the birth of a new humanity, but we will see the year that the New World Order begins in earnest, if we, the people, fail to do anything about it. And don't get me wrong with this either, folks. I mean, sure, we could see the birth of a new humanity if the people of the planet were to apply themselves to the situation that we face. And that's the only way that any type of conscious evolution or ascension or anything like that will actually happen, folks, if people apply themselves to it. And it will be if people fail to apply themselves to it that then we will see the birth of the New World Order in earnest. And what we've seen so far this year, folks, in the first 3 months, has been absolutely phenomenal. Really, we've seen so much new legislation being brought in all countries across the board, or all Western countries, at least. Seen the introduction of incredibly repressive bills in America. We've seen the implementation of carbon tax and mandatory body scanners at airports being introduced in Australia. And the icing on the cake is the passing through the New Zealand Parliament on March 22nd of the Search and Surveillance Bill. And this bill is due to come into effect on April 18th. And folks, it can only be described as something similar to the American Patriot Act on steroids. It is absolutely the most Nazi piece of legislation I've ever seen. And the scope of the bill is absolutely amazing. It allows the government to look at people's texts, their voicemails, put bugs in their cars, and watch their chat room videos. And it gives these powers to 70 different government agencies, like agencies you've probably never heard of. And if someone is detained under this bill, then enforcement officers can search that person's home and workplace and also their friends. Okay, they're friends as well. Now, you don't have to be guilty of anything, folks. You don't even have to be arrested. You only have to be detained. Okay, are you hearing this? Now, this is a bill which absolutely removes the liberties and freedoms of everybody. And it grants the police incredibly extended powers without the approval of the judiciary. Okay, and it allows any person, I mean, they could detain you for whatever reason. Well, they could pull you over for a random breath test and just detain you because they believe that you need a further breath test back at the station. They could detain you because a shop's been broken in down the road and you fit the description of the person who did it. And you may not be that person, but you may look similar. You know, you've got brown hair, two eyes, one nose, one head, two arms. So you look like this person. And so now that they've detained you, they have the power to go back and search your house and search the houses of your friends, to bug your grandmother's telephone, install a hidden camera in your daughter's bathroom, download the files from your wife's computer, and steal everything from your computer without ever having to prove that you have committed a crime or that one will be committed. Okay? That's how broad this bill is. And this can't be overstated, folks, because this is giving 70 government agencies within New Zealand Gestapo-like powers. And that's what this is, folks. This is the formation of the Gestapo in New Zealand. I mean, one can only question if the next thing we'll see on the cards from the New Zealand government will be death squads. It seems to be a natural progression from legislation such as this. I mean, let's face it, folks, if they want to top it, then I don't really see that they have anywhere else to go. And, folks, it is due to legislation exactly the same as this. Legislation which a government chose to impose not only upon its own people, but also to inflict upon the people of the rest of the world, that we fought what is known as World War II. This is exactly why the world went to war with Germany. Well, that's what we're told anyway. Of course, there were vastly different reasons why we're at war with Germany, but we were told that it was because of the terrible brutality of Hitler's regime and their willingness to impose legislation just like this upon their citizens. And as I've often said, folks, what they do is they try these pieces of legislation in one country and they see how it's received, and then they just go about implementing it in all countries. And it's a gradual process. But what you find is that every country ends up being the testing ground for new types of laws and legislation, and it gets tried in various countries, and sometimes it gets tried several times before it's actually brought in. But eventually they do get it in, and when they've found the model that works, then they extrapolate it out across the rest of the world and bring it in to other countries. Always gradually, of course, but the point is that once you see it introduced in one country, then you see it come along and get introduced into other countries using virtually the same method. You see, a global government already exists, folks. It's just that it's covert. It's behind the scenes. And what these people are doing now is simply consolidating their power by writing more and more legislation designed to remove more and more of the rights of the people, eliminate more and more actual law from the planet, and to further impose their will over the people that they are employed to protect and to actually do exactly the opposite of what they're doing. But the problem is that the people have forgotten that we actually employ the government and that legislation is not law. It is simply statute regulations given power via our consent to these regulations. So we really need to adjust our perception of the social hierarchy here, folks, and we really need to remember who the boss of these governments is, because it is us, it is we the people. So this type of legislation needs to be completely boycotted in mass, and any police officer that enforces this type of legislation as well is breaking the law. They might be acting within the parameters of legislation, but they're breaking natural law, they're breaking common law, and they're not doing the job that we employ them to do. And folks, legislation such as this really, really should be considered a crime against humanity, and the people who enacted it should be held accountable in an international court of some description. If we could find one of those that was anywhere near honest, it would probably help. But ultimately, folks, the politicians that did vote on this bill and did pass this bill in need to be arrested, because they are most certainly not the friends of the New Zealand people. They're very dangerous, these type of people, folks, but you can see by their willingness to enact legislation like this that they also know how bad they are, and they are getting quite scared that people are finding out, and so they are wishing to put in all these parameters in order to contain the people who are waking up and to remove them from the public eye and to protect their own positions. And this is always done at the expense of the countries that these people are supposedly serving. And we see the same thing here in Australia, folks. Julia Gillard is bringing in all sorts of nasty pieces of legislation while she's selling the country off to foreign mining interests. And she's done this consistently ever since taking office. And you just got to look at what Obama's done in the United States. I mean, some of the bills that have been brought in over there have been absolutely shocking. And it's happening right across the board, folks. It's happening in Sweden. It's happening everywhere. They're bringing in all sorts of legislation under the rug while people aren't looking. And what we are seeing with this, and what we will continue to see more of this year, is the merger and expansion of the global corporate machine as it continues to refine its apparatus. Folks, this is exactly what the world was standing up against in World War II. This is a Nazi system that is being implemented in all Western countries. And as I've said on other occasions, folks, in World War II, it wasn't the Nazis that lost the war. It was Germany that lost the war. The Nazis were actually financed by Rothschild banks. They were supplied by Western corporations. And you can't say that Hitler was so much against Jews, folks, because there were quite literally thousands of Zionist Jews who were members of the SS. And what they did is they used the Semitic Jews of the area and they persecuted them, and they used the event to set up the State of Israel so they could create further instability in the world and bring about the situation that they have now brought about. And they tested all of the methodology in World War II as well. They had all the death camps, which were full of not just Jews, folks, but Austrians and anybody who spoke out against the system. And they tried all the fluoride on these people, all the mind control, genetics. They did massive amounts of research into electromagnetism. And they tried many other methods of social control and the use of propaganda on the German people. And they found out how to mold the mindset of the people. You see, in World War II, the German people thought they were the good guys. That's the thing. Much the way the American people do at the moment, much the way the New Zealand people do. Even in response to this law that's come in New Zealand, there's been people posting comments saying, oh, well, nothing to hide, nothing to fear. Unless you're actually breaking the law, you shouldn't have anything to fear. And that's exactly what the German people said, folks. They don't understand the broad scope of this legislation that's been brought in. And this is an exact repeat. See, it's like I said in the opening quote, folks, the government cannot control innocent people. The only real power the government has is to crack down on criminals. And so what they do is they make almost everything against the law. And so here we have them granting these incredibly broad powers to police, and now all they have to do is bring in all these little bits of legislation after it to make virtually everything you do illegal. So if you even step outside of the lines, you will be detained. And if you're detained, then they can do all this stuff to you. And this is exactly the way it works. It's exactly what they did in Nazi Germany, only it's even worse, really, than what they did in Nazi Germany. You see, what they did in Germany in World War II is basically a beta test to test the system so that they could put it in place across the entire Western world, which is what they've done since World War II. The Nazi Empire was basically smuggled out of Germany through the Vatican, went into America and South America. They set up the CIA, the NSA. They set up NASA so they could siphon off lots of money for black budgets. They set up the United Nations. And then they went out and they started theatres of conflict all across the world so they were able to put bases, military bases, all around the planet. And now that they have got all of these military bases stationed around the planet and it's escalated to the point where Western society is now beginning to wake up to what's going on, they are now implementing this entire Nazi system and this entire lockdown of human freedoms across all the Western world. Because the only way they're really going to get away with taking over the rest of the world that they haven't yet got is to repress the people within their countries. Because obviously most of the people in Western countries don't really want their government going out and creating theatres of conflict and wars and destroying human life around the planet the way our governments have been doing. And they are waking up to this, and so now it's very important for the government to bring in all of these incredibly draconian and obviously Nazi pieces of legislation in order to quell any dissent that may erupt within their countries as they prepare to destroy those parts of the world that they have not yet violated. And there's certainly not much of that left, folks. I mean, just the use of depleted uranium and the onset of genetically modified plants and foods and organisms all over the planet has already caused an incredible amount of damage to the globe, and there simply aren't too many places left that are unaffected by the destruction that is Western society. But those places that are left unaffected will certainly not remain that way for long if those people who currently control the direction the ship of state is sailing in have any part of their way at all. And those people out there who approve of legislation such as that which has just been introduced in New Zealand and who say nothing to hide, nothing to fear, really need to turn that around and apply it to the government. Nothing to hide, nothing to fear. Why would the government be in so much fear for itself that it would need to impose these type of draconian measures upon the people of the country? I mean, think about it, folks. Look around you. Where's all the violent crime? Where's all the terrorism that creates a need for these laws? And are the people of the country able to apply these same type of measures to the politicians? Because if they're not able to apply these types of measures to the politicians, like, you know, detain a politician because he broke an election promise and so he's basically committed fraud. And of course, what about if the people perceive a war or an invasion may be illegal? Are we able to suspect the government of committing a crime then? What about the destruction of the water table that we suspect may be happening through fracking? I mean, of course, it's illegal to destroy water, to pollute groundwater. So even under that, what if we were to claim to the police, not that we know the water table is being destroyed, which it is, but just that we suspect the water table is being destroyed, and so therefore we suspect our politicians of acting in a criminal manner. In that sort of a situation, are we able to make a complaint to the police so that the police can then detain that politician and go and search that politician's house, and of course the houses of all the politician's friends as well? And if not, then what are the politicians hiding? After all, nothing to hide, nothing to fear. And of course, folks, these are the very same politicians that have worked so hard to enslave the citizens of each country to a completely corrupt, privately run monetary system based on interest-bearing debt that locks each person within the country into a perpetual sea of self-generating debt for their entire lives, all of which is completely fictional and completely unnecessary, and is designed simply to keep people on a manufactured treadmill of contrived scarcity and thereby keep them in a state of fear-based mind control. And they are the same politicians that fluoridate their citizens and support countless illegal wars and open their countries up for practices such as coal seam gas mining, which is destroying the global water table in order to support the fake economy that these politicians insist remains in place. And these are the people that are asking us to trust them. And when they pass a piece of draconian legislation which makes it possible for them to basically have you disappear off the street never to return, along with any friends of yours they might want to take with you, and even though they've displayed themselves as being compulsive liars that have completely destroyed the world around us, they ask us to trust in what they say. And they move quickly to assure us that it's all been done in order to protect us and that all of this is in our best interests. I mean, to be honest, folks, I'd trust a used car salesman in a check suit quicker than I'd trust any politician. And so when you look at it this way, folks, what you see yet again is another opportunity. It's an opportunity for people to see the mechanism right there before their eyes, to have the whole thing laid bare. Because now you can see how corrupt our government institutions are and how scared these people are of the people over which they have styled themselves rulers. Because that's what they've done, folks. It's this self-styled dictatorship that they've put in place. That's all our governments are. That's all of our Western nations are. It's a functional rotational dictatorship. We simply elect a new CEO to the corporation every few years. And each CEO may have a slightly different vision on the steps that need to be taken in order to get to a certain point. But ultimately, they're all heading to the same point. Things never change with any of these governments, folks. The machine always plods steadily forward. All you get are little insignificant changes along the way of issues that really aren't important. But the media always whips up a big frenzy around these non-important issues and makes them appear like they're important to the public. But really they're not. They're just little side issues that are used to distract people so that the grinding wheels of totalitarianism can keep plodding along on their steady path towards complete global control. And that is exactly what we're seeing. And as I've often said, folks, the more bare the workings become, then the more opportunities humankind is being presented with to stand up and effect some positive change. And that positive change is only going to come about once people start acting in a state of empathy, folks. Once people put empathy back into the equation in their everyday life. And I'm certainly not saying sit back and be complacent and put yourself in a state of love and ignore it. What I'm saying is that you need to break down the barriers with your neighbours so you've got strong communities so that our entire nations can stand up against the type of tyranny that is being imposed upon us. Because it is tyranny, folks. It's a corporate Nazi tyranny that is being imposed upon all Western countries, right across the board. It's being brought in very, very gradually. It's not like totally in your face with armed guards marching up and down the street, but there can be no doubt that this is what's happening. It is being brought in right across the board. Only, as I said, it's being brought in gradual increments. And you've really just got to look around you to see the truth of this. And if you can't see it, then, I don't know, maybe you watch too much television or you've got your head in the clouds or something, but I suppose to be fair, it's safe to say that the reason that most people can't see it is because they're kept on the treadmill of debt or the treadmill of social status. So they're just given so many things to keep them distracted from the bigger picture of what's actually going on in the world. And it's very, very cleverly designed and very, very meticulously orchestrated. But that's what's going on, folks. And unfortunately, a lot of people probably won't wake up until it gets much more negative yet. But that is no reason to give up hope, and that is no reason to stop conveying this message to people. Because the more you lead by example, then the more you wake up the area in which you live. Even if it's only one person at a time, folks, you're still having an effect upon your community, even by being awake, by being in the correct energetic state. But make sure you lead by example, folks. Make sure you are a pleasure to be around. Make sure you do your bit to improve reality by your presence in it, because that's how we change things. And that's how we get the attention of other people as well, because people need to know there's someone strong around them. People need to know that you're there. They need to know that there's a helping hand that exists. So try to be that helping hand. And you can really only do that if you know how to help yourself. You've got to be able to stand in your power and be the change you want to see in the world, and to project that out and to lead by example in all that you do. That's always my greatest advice to everybody, folks. I think if we can all do this within our own communities, we create these ripples that will eventually reach the larger community simply by matter of course. And I know it's a slow process, folks, but that's simply because the people within our societies are quite literally under mind control. I mean, the subliminal messages that these people receive on a daily and hourly basis, a minute by minute, I mean, it's absolutely incredible. The subtext in all of the television commercials, all of the films, all of the movies they watch, all full of subtext. And all the electromagnetic bombardment, the mobile phones, all the wireless technology, the fluoride in the water, the toxins in the food. There are so many things and so many steps that have been undertaken to keep the population asleep that you really can't blame a lot of the people for being the way they are. And it does no point getting angry about it. You've simply got to attempt to lead by example, because that really does make a difference, folks. If you can speak to people logically and speak to them in a way that they understand, and don't shout them down, don't yell at them, don't scream danger, danger, just talk to people, you'll find that a lot of people will wake up to what's going on. All you've got to really do is crack the shell, folks. Just cause the penny to drop a little bit, and they usually go on to investigate things themselves from there. And like I said, folks, it is a slow process, but the mind control that people are under is quite literally mind-boggling. It really is. It's phenomenal, the amount of pressure that most people are under, and they don't even realize it. And apart from that, as I said, they're always kept on the treadmill. So a lot of them simply don't have time to look at the way the world works, because they are so busy trying to keep their head above the waters of debt, which are ever encroaching and designed to ever more encroach, until they will eventually swallow everybody and the entire wealth of the planet will be transferred over into the hands of the elite. And that's the plan, and that's what they're working towards. And it really does become quite obvious when you simply stop what you're doing and take a look around and take stock of your surroundings. I mean, seriously, folks, it's the only logical conclusion you can come to once you do have time to stop and take stock. It's just that many people simply never find that time, because they are always kept on the treadmill. And a lot of the time we keep ourselves on the treadmill because we are fighting so hard to improve our social status or our business status or improve whatever it is we perceive to be inadequate about ourselves, because we tend to judge ourselves by how we measure up to the rest of society rather than on who we actually are. I mean, as a society, we generally tend to appraise who we are by what we own. And of course, we do this because we are trained to do this. We are trained to measure ourselves up to the yardsticks that are provided for us by the social and media system that feeds us all of our information. And that's another thing you've got to remember, folks, is that most people get all the information about life from the television. And they think that's reality. And all television does is provide them with a completely false perception of reality. And yet that's what they have. That's what they know. And that's what they use to mold their lives. It's quite frightening, but that is actually the way most people live and the way most people think. Most people quite literally live in a world constructed for them by the television. Of course, most of them would never admit this, but if you talk to people and you start hearing what their perspective of reality is and you delve a little deeper and begin to see where they get their ideas from, and what you find is that generally all of these ideas come from either the television or some other form of mainstream media. But ultimately, that's where all of their concepts of life come from. It's not because they travel. It's not because they meet lots of people. It's because they read newspapers, because they watch news, and they inform themselves through movies and mainstream documentaries, Discovery Channel, all this sort of stuff. So it all generally comes from the mainstream media. It's very rare these days to find people who will sit down and read encyclopedias, not that that's a reliable source, but even books by independent authors. You'll find that most modern people, or many modern people, simply don't read books. Or if they do, they read adventure stories or romance novels or something like that. But here in the 21st century, folks, it's very rare to find anybody who actually spends the time to sit down and read documentary books. I mean, sure, there are still a few of us who do that, but generally speaking, it's a trait that seems to be gradually being phased out of people. They just don't have the interest anymore. And even when you suggest a good book to someone, they look at it and they go, oh, well, that's great, but I'll wait till the movie comes out. And very often they don't realize how much the movie changes things. And of course, most documentaries don't even come out as movies, folks, and so people just don't get the information. But it's now break time, folks, and so I'll leave it there for now and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for spending this time with me today, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Now, what I see around me in the world today when I go out and I walk around, I see the people in the street, and what I see is a world that is virtually asleep. People very much appear to be busy, but really when you look at what these people are doing, most of the activity is completely meaningless. It may have some meaning on a business or corporate sense, but in as far as relating to the essence of a human being, none of what these people do seems to have any meaning at all, because very little of it relates to who and what they are. Very little of it relates to their relationship with the people around them and their relationship to the world around them. Most of it seems to revolve around the acquisition of wealth, the acquisition of stuff, or the acquisition of social status. Many people have a particular image of themselves, and they have a view of how the rest of the world sees them. Usually the view they have of how the rest of the world sees them is completely mistaken, but that's a little ego thing that we all seem to have going. But for most people, it's all about what they look like, where they live, and what they have. And that's what determines where people stand on the social ladder. Whereas from a perspective of social interaction, it's somewhat different. From a perspective of social interaction, it seems that the two most valuable things to strive for within our society are coolness and cuteness. If you're cool or if you're cute, then that's all you need to be, and everybody will want to be around you. And everybody who isn't cool and cute strives to appear as if they are. They strive for coolness or they strive for cuteness. But very often when you meet people who are cool or they are cute, what you find is that that's really all they are. And of course, I'm not saying this is always the case, folks. I mean, I know some incredibly attractive people who are very awake, so I'm sort of generalizing here, but when you look at society, this is kind of the way it works. You find a bunch of people running around living completely meaningless existences, and they are all striving to be either cool or cute. They base their entire perspective of themselves on what they look like and how they act and how they hold themselves and the little one-liners they may be able to deliver in a particular situation to garner the attention of the crowd. But if you attempt to have any type of meaningful conversation with a lot of these people, what you find is that they simply have no real bearing on reality. They have no real understanding of themselves. All they do is they know how to be cool and they know how to be cute. And the really interesting thing about this, folks, is that there are many other people in society who are maybe not so beautiful as the cool and cute ones and are actually quite intelligent. And what these people then attempt to do is they attempt to hide or mask their intelligence because they don't want the cool and cute and popular people to judge them for being too intellectual and start calling them brainiac or something. And you'll find that most of these people are actually willing to lower their intellectual profile to the point that they are able to fit in with the cool and cute ones. And this is the basis of our entire social system, folks. I mean, it seriously is. I mean, seriously, if you look around at the society around you and look at the way people interact with each other and look at what they're fed from the television, and you will soon begin to realize that everything I've just outlined for you is the basis of our entire social system. And that's pretty freaky, folks, when you really think about that and you think about where people's morals and values lie. You think about the positions they've climbed to in the social or business hierarchy that very often depended on how cool or cute they were as to how far they got on the social rungs. It's pretty freaky to see that this is exactly how our society is run. And the thing is that people are trained to be this way by the yardsticks they're fed by the mainstream media. We're given all these yardsticks to measure ourselves up to, and we have to be like this, or we won't be cool, and we won't be cute. And I've got to tell you, folks, this is why I used to listen to so much Frank Zappa music when I was younger, because Frank Zappa used to sing about this sort of stuff all the time. He used to have a particular view of society where he could see exactly what was going on here and see how society went about purposely dumbing itself down, whereby people take conscious steps in order to lower their socio-intellectual profile to a very, very mundane level so that they can fit in with everybody else. And he used to be fascinated by this part of our culture, and that's what most of his songs were about. So that's something that very much attracted me to him when I was at a very young age. And I've got to tell you, folks, I think that if it wasn't for Frank Zappa, if it wasn't for discovering Frank Zappa when I was about 10 years old, then I seriously don't think I would be the person that I am now. Dear Uncle Frank taught me very much about life at a very early age, and I believe that if all kids had that sort of a eye-opening experience at age 10, perhaps the world would be in a different place than it is now. And you see, I remember walking around when I was 4 or 5 years old thinking, this is all messed up. This is just not supposed to be this way. What is wrong with the world? And when I was 10, I discovered Frank Zappa, and he explained to me what was wrong with the world, and it all became very clear from that point, folks. And that was really the beauty of his music for me, and that's what attracted me to his music at such an early age, simply because of the things he was saying. Because all the songs on the radio were all boy meets girl and all this meaningless stuff, and then suddenly I heard this guy and I thought, hey, everything this man says actually makes sense. And it was just such a pleasure to hear someone singing about things that finally made sense. And that's something we've very much lost in the pop culture or the teenage culture, in the music culture of the modern world. You'll find that there isn't music around like that anymore. What you find the kids are exposed to is stuff that is either pro-violence or sexually demeaning or basically defeatist, songs saying how bad the world is and how bored I am and how I want to give up on everything and it's all too much and, you know, to hell with everybody else, I'm going to get a knife and hide in the alley and stand for myself, and if I can make myself a big enough name in the gang, then I'll get the girl. I mean, this is basically what our pop culture and our music culture has become. And again, folks, this is another form of mind control. And that's what I used to love about Frank. He used to break free of all of that mind control and just tell things like it is and say things that people may not particularly want to hear about themselves, but very often things that everybody did. And it is really quite fascinating and interesting to see how the pop culture is used to mold the minds and the belief systems of the younger generations as they grow up. There is massive amounts of subtext in pop culture, folks, with the video clips and the outfits and the makeup and all sorts of stuff that they use. It's all designed to activate kids' sexuality very young, and it's all designed to basically be demeaning to the human experience. It's very often designed to create an air of hopelessness and division and very often violence. And having lived my life mostly as a musician and been very much involved in this art form for most of my life, it's been very interesting to watch the transition that's happened through the pop culture in the last 30 or 40 years. Because, I mean, I started getting interested in the pop culture when I was about 6 years old, folks. I heard the Beatles. And that was it for me. I wanted to play guitar from that moment onwards. And I very much watched the pop culture all through my childhood. When I left school, I started playing guitar in bands and did that for most of my life. And so it was very interesting to see the transition through to where we are now. Because back when I started, it was about music. It was all about the music and the meaning of the music. Because the music was very freeing. There were songs that were brought out back in those days which were designed to free the spirit and free the mind and open you up to what was going on around you. And there was actually a huge awakening that happened back in that time in the 60s because of the message within the music, within the music the kids were listening to. It was all very empowering and it was also very revealing of the system that actually enslaves us. And so the pop industry started and they took control of the music industry and they started molding the thoughts of people in a completely different way. And yes, folks, it has been very interesting to see what it's come to today. I mean, just the subtext in the music today, folks, is absolutely amazing. There's a tour happening here in Australia at the moment. Nicki Minaj is touring the country. And the poster is Nicki Minaj wearing makeup that makes it look like her face is slashed. So here we have the subtext again, folks. You've got the very beautiful Nicki Minaj there in the poster, looking very sweet and very sexy, and you have her face slashed. So what is the subliminal message that is being given to the kids just in the poster promoting the concert? And this is a good illustration of what I was talking about earlier in the show with the mind control that people are under and the symbolism and the subtext that they are bombarded with quite literally 24 hours a day. It's all around them and it's all affecting them subliminally, and very often people are completely unaware of it, and so they just do not realize what's happening, and they don't realize what's going on in their subconscious and how their minds and thoughts are being molded. And when you really get to notice that this is there, folks, it becomes quite fascinating. I mean, you just go out to town, go to the shop, go to the supermarket, go to the bookstore, the news agency, and just look at the covers of things, look at the signs, look at the suggestive subtext that is put in virtually everything, folks. And when you begin to see this, it becomes quite fascinating to actually see how much is there and how much people are bombarded by it. I mean, I go out to town, folks, and it looks like a movie set to me. I mean, it really does, just the shop fronts and the people walking around with glazed eyes. I mean, it almost looks surreal to me. And honestly, folks, sometimes I even feel like I'm like the man with the dark glasses in the old film They Live, who is walking around and actually seeing the mind control that everybody else is oblivious to. And it can be quite fascinating to watch, and it becomes so very obvious once you know it's there. And of course, it is very much like taking the red pill in the Matrix, folks, because once you are awake, it's virtually impossible to ever go back to sleep again. although a good dose of television and fluoride would probably help with that. But the point is, folks, that when you really start looking around you and you begin to be aware of the systems that are in place to keep the population docile and keep them under mind control, then the whole system breaks down. It's like, as I've said before, that the system itself infects the mind like a pathogen, and the only way to really inoculate yourself against this pathogen is to be aware of the psychopathy of the system that enslaves us. It's the same with the mind control. The only way to free yourself from the mind control is to understand that it's there, to look at the signs in a different way, look at the advertising in a different way, have a look at the subtext that exists in movies, look at what they're actually telling you underneath the script, just with the general story, with the sets that they use and the landscapes that they pick. And you'll find that there is massive amounts of subtext in all of this stuff, to the point where very often even the choices that you make in everyday life are choices that have already been decided for you. Because the people who created the advertising and who created the promotion around a certain product or a certain event know that people will react in a certain way if they're presented with certain things. And they give you a choice of how to react. They don't let you make your own opinion up. There's usually one way or the other way. It's left or right, black and white. And very often these choices are actually made for us. And this is what happens when people just jump on the bandwagon with any issue. It's because the choice was already made for them before the issue was presented to them through the mind control that exists all around them. And like I said, folks, when you become aware of it, it all breaks down. Suddenly it's like you've got those dark glasses on and they live and you can see how the whole system works. And when you can do this, folks, you can begin to approach the world from a different perspective. You can begin to approach the world from an energetic perspective, start operating from a state of empathy, because empathy is something that's very much been removed from everybody. Everybody's walking around with glazed eyes, all concerned with performing their particular function of society. And it's all completely meaningless. It's all designed to impersonalize life, to make life all about the mechanism that controls your life rather than about your life itself. And that's why most people miss out on finding who and what they are. They don't ever really get a chance to reflect until they retire at 65 or 70 years old. You know, they get a few years there at the end of their lives that they can use to reflect and to attempt to make sense out of their life and attempt to figure out what it was actually all about. And that's one of the saddest things about our culture, and it's truly one of the cruelest tricks that's ever been perpetrated against the human race, is making people work their entire lives and then just giving them that little bit at the end to reflect on what it was all about. And of course, this is accomplished by forcing people to pay to be alive. And you've got to understand how the elite look at all of this as well, folks. To them, it's like a game. It's like an ant farm. It's like some kid playing with a bug box, you know. He's got a box and he's got bugs in there and he's created little houses for them and little bridges and little bits of infrastructure. And then occasionally you'll throw a glass of water in there and wash the bridge out and see how they struggle and see how they do this and see how they do that. Make a few other bugs homeless, maybe introduce a few predator bugs over here and just play around with it and just see what they can create and how regimented they can get their bugs to be. You know, how well-trained they can get their bugs. And that's the way the elite look at the population. It's just a big game to them. It's like an ant farm. And they have absolutely no empathy towards the people within the ant farm. They have no concern for the suffering they cause for others. It's all just a big energetic game to them. And that's why we need to look at the world energetically as well, because we need to realize that we are in this bug box, folks, and we've been trained to interact with each other energetically, but it's the wrong type of energy. We need to get empathy back into the equation, because this entire bug box system has been designed to remove empathy. It's the removal of empathy that creates the bug box and creates the system itself. Because if you apply empathy to the situation, if you apply empathy to society and apply empathy to the people around you, then the whole system breaks down and suddenly people are not the most expendable thing within the parameters of the system anymore. What becomes expendable is the portions of the system which seek to make humanity expendable. But this can only happen if we bring empathy back into the equation. That's why I think it's so important, folks, and that's why I mention it so much. And I'm not talking about being all lovey-dovey. I'm just attempting to help people see the value in others and see that every person has worth. Every person is the same as everybody else in their validity to creation. Everybody has value. Everybody has worth. And until we can realize that and realize that all of the people around us, all the people that exist within the bug box, all have worth. We are all the same as each other. We are all just as important as each other. We all have the same basic needs as each other. And the only way our society is going to function as a real civilization and as a real society is when we can have a society that operates in empathy. Because until we do that, we're going to have homelessness, we're going to have starvation, we're going to have environmental damage, we're going to have corruption, and we're going to have everything that we've got, and everything that is leading us down the path towards our own destruction, which is where we are heading and where we will continue to head until we learn the importance of empathy and we learn that we need to apply empathy to our everyday lives and we need to make it the basis of our social structure. With the application of empathy to our social system, how could you have a world that is sliding into fascism the way Western society currently is? How could you have a government that would introduce legislation such as the search and surveillance bill that's just been brought in New Zealand if you had a social structure that was based on empathy? You see, there is no need for the government to protect itself against society. There is no need for society to protect itself against itself the way we do. Because all of the problems that exist within our society, all of the crime, all of the homelessness, all of the hardship and suffering that we see is all a result of scarcity. It's all because society is kept in this state of manufactured scarcity, and that scarcity exists because society has no empathy for itself. And the people who have constructed the rules which govern society have no empathy for the society over which they govern. And again, it all comes back to the psychopathic nature of the system itself. And that only exists because of the lack of empathy. That only exists because people are trained to be this way, folks. So there's a clue in all that, and there's an obvious way to fix things. But again, it's got to be done at a grassroots level. There is no solution in government. There is no one you can vote for that's going to make the world right. There's no legislation or so-called law that you can enact that's going to make the world right. What has to happen in order for the world to be made right is for people to change their perspective of reality. And they do that by changing their energetic state inside. The answer to all the problems lies with the people, and the answer lies within. And again, this isn't saying be all lovey-dovey. You know, you've got to look within, see that essence within yourself and see that it's the same as the essence in the person next to you, and then apply that understanding to the reality in which you live. You know, you can't leave 3D reality out of the equation. You can't live within a social system and expect any changes to happen to that social system without applying yourself to it, folks. And it's because people fail to apply themselves to reality around them and fail to apply this right energy and this correct emotional state to the reality around them that this fascism is able to slowly creep forward the way it does. You see, the search and surveillance bill in New Zealand would never get off the ground if society had empathy for itself and if the people within the New Zealand society all had respect for each other, saw each other as valid, and stood in solidarity with each other. They just laughed this bill straight out of the parliament and have the police go and arrest the politicians who constructed this legislation. And if the police won't do it, well, I guess then it's time that the society took the matter in hand itself and replaced these people. Because obviously, I mean, it can't be allowed to function this way because all we've got here is a very, very few people removing the rights of the vast majority of people in order to keep themselves safe from prosecution, and in order to prevent any groups of people ever standing up against the tyranny that they are attempting to impose upon their employers. Because that's what's happening, folks. And that's what's happening all around the world. And that's why we need this communal spirit. That's why we need empathy back into the equation. And that's why we need to be able to step back and see the system for what it is. I mean, it's no good just looking at things through rose-colored glasses and thinking someone else is going to change it. And there's no good looking at things like an adventure novel and have people saying, look, there's imminent arrests and there's imminent stuff happening. All these bad guys are going to get taken down. It's all imminent. Don't you do anything. Don't you apply yourself to reality. Don't you care. Don't connect with your neighbors. Don't do anything to make positive change because it's all going to be made for you because change is imminent. I mean, it's a scam, folks. It's an absolute scam to prevent the community from ever uniting together and standing up to make positive change themselves. And it is only from the community that such change will ever come. It has to be done by the people themselves, folks. There is no other solution to what we are facing. And this is the message that I've been attempting to bring you since day one on these shows, folks. The need to view reality from an energetic perspective, break down the barriers between yourself and the people around you so that you can have this communal spirit and this solidarity and strength from each other, because there really is strength in numbers, folks. And there are enough people in the world now who are awake that we could absolutely affect some positive change. And we could absolutely change the direction the ship of state is sailing in. But we have to be prepared to act and to take the steps that are needed. And we have to be prepared to apply ourselves to reality around us. Well, we're getting near the end of this show here, folks. And I know that I certainly have gone off on a few tangents today. Very rare to find me speaking about Frank Zappa on the radio shows. But, well, it just seemed appropriate to bring that up at the time. The new film is virtually finished, folks. I'm just running through some final checks of it now, so it will be uploaded to my YouTube channel within the next week or two. And of course it will also be embedded onto the Crow House, and the full film will be available for download from thecrowhouse.com sometime around mid-May. And it's great to finally have that done, because now I will be able to concentrate on some of the other stuff that I have on the table and maybe get a few things more completed for you as well. I will say once again, thank you to anybody who has ever showed any support to the Crow House. I know things are getting very tight in the world, and it is getting very hard for people to make ends meet. And the same goes for me, folks. It is becoming quite difficult here. I've virtually spent most of the money I've ever had on attempting to get this message out to people, because I believe I can do it by not selling anything and by not bringing money into the equation. I believe that money will only impede the flow of information. I think it's very important that information get out to people, and I think it's very important that information remain free. I think that goes a long way to maintaining the integrity of the information and the integrity of the website. So I have been approached to put a lot of advertising on the website, but I've never taken up anybody's offer to have it there. So the site has always remained free, and it's always remained true to its morals, and this has been greatly helped by the contribution that has been made by the listeners out there, and I thank you very much for that. But that is it for me for the day, folks. We are now completely out of time. So I will say thank you for putting up with all my tangents today, and thank you for listening to me babble on the way I did. And I will look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take care until then. In La Cache.